Well, as you know, this morning we've been in a series of messages. It's called Life Hacks, Unlocking Proverbs. And there's so much in the book of Proverbs that will help us. And so today, as you know, we open up as an illustration, a life hack, something that you can use in life. And so I've asked the choir to help me this morning. Gabe has a few questions that he's going to ask them. So let's listen carefully and be sure and listen to the response that they give.
All right. Well, first of all, choir, again, this is a pleasure to work with this choir. They're awesome.
Amen.
Amen. The choir is you, by the way. It's just you guys, people who show up and they rehearse and they do their thing. They don't just look good and sound good. They're just great people, and I enjoy working with them. Now, choir, you guys sounded great this morning. But, you know, every Sunday, these guys are singing out there, too. How do you think they sound every Sunday morning out there? Oh, okay. No, that's a silly question. That's just a joke. That's a joke. Everyone take it easy. Take it easy. All right. Let's move on. All right. So how about, let's talk about something else. Oh, I know what I'm doing something cool with my hair. I'm letting it kind of grow out. I'm thinking about maybe getting a mohawk. I'm thinking about doing some cool colors or something. What do you guys think about that? Is that a great idea? No? All right. No. I'm being silly. That's just silliness. Okay. Here's another question. Here's a good one. All right. We know that baseball season's wrapping up, and the Cubs look like they're doing pretty good right now. Anybody have some great advice, as a bunch of Cardinal fans I know here, for some Cub fans on what they can do to cheer their team on and help them to go all the way? Any great advice for some Cub fans? Oh, okay. That's a bad question. Okay, I got a better one. Here's the one that I was going to ask you. Okay, holidays, right? Holidays are coming up, ladies. A lot of you are married, your sons have married beautiful daughter-in-laws, right? And do you have any advice for them as the holidays approach on how they can run a better household and how they can maybe keep things neater and be better wives? No? Nothing? Okay. All right. I'm drawing some blanks here, Pastor. I'm sorry about that. Oh, I got election season's coming up, right? We got this election coming up. So do you guys have any thoughts or opinions on who we should vote for this election season? Anybody got any thoughts on that can share with the crowd here this morning? Well, not only do they sound good, Pastor Mark, there's also a lot of wisdom in this crowd.
Yes, there is. There's a lot of wisdom. You know, there's a time and place to, say thank you to the choir. Y'all did a great job doing that, by the way. You know, there's a time and place to say something, but some things are better left unsaid, right? One of the wisest things that you can do is not say anything. And as we look in the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is really a book of wisdom. It's also called that, a book of wisdom. And what we find are many life hacks, which are something, the things that help make life easier, better for us. And one of the life hacks that we're going to learn about this morning is wisdom. We need to understand wisdom, what it means, what it does not mean, and how to apply wisdom in our lives. And what I want to do is I want to help you this morning, because without wisdom, listen to me, without wisdom you're not going to make it. Without the wisdom that the Bible talks about. And somebody say, well, I'm not very smart, Pastor. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. And I'll get to that in just a moment. But there is a wisdom that everyone can possess and that you need if you're going to make it in this life today. So we're going to ask several questions, and we're going to look at this issue of wisdom. If you will, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to look at some different characteristics about wisdom this morning. Proverbs chapter 2. By the way, I want to say thank you to Kevin for filling in for me last Sunday. I had the opportunity of being in Texas to visit with my family, and we were there for two reasons. One was concerning a wedding. One of my daughters was in my niece's wedding in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My sister Karen has been here to speak. It was her daughter who was getting married, and I'll speak to the other in just a few moments. But I want to thank Kevin and the staff for filling in for me. And they do a great job in doing that. What we're going to find today in the book of Proverbs are different aspects of wisdom. All throughout the book, we find this topic about wisdom. So I want to talk about, first of all, the need for wisdom. The need for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, I want to begin in verse 1. Why is it so important that I need wisdom? And why is it so important that I hear and I apply what we're learning today? Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, now think of that in general. Solomon is talking to his son, but that really speaks to all of us. Son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding, furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, really that's all synonymous concerning wisdom. If you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that He may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of His loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard your heart, rescuing you from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversity, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. Now, this great instruction that he gives us on why we need wisdom. But I want to begin by asking, what is wisdom? You know, sometimes we think of wisdom as philosophical arguments, studying the philosophers and ancient philosophies that are still applicable today. The word philosophy in and of itself means the love, philo, the love of wisdom, Sophie, or we have somebody's given a name, Sophia. It means wisdom. And so philosophy is the love of wisdom, the searching, the passion to know. And all of us are on that passion, that quest to have wisdom. We don't want to do anything foolish. That's not our intent. We want to know what is right. And so we have this understanding of wisdom. But often, I think the first thing that we think about when we think of wisdom, what it is, we think it's intelligence. It's about being smart. And that's really not what wisdom is. Wisdom is not knowledge. Those are two different things. Knowledge is acquiring information. Wisdom is the application of that information. I mean, you can have the highest IQ. You can have all the intelligence in the world. But if you don't have wisdom, then you're going to fail. You're not going to make it in this life. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is simply knowing how to make the right choices. When you read the book of Proverbs, it's about Solomon trying to convey to his son and to us how to make right choices. Now, I'm given the facts of the knowledge that I have. I'm given the facts of the situation. I'm given the facts of relationships that I'm in or in the work that I'm in. But it's applying that. It's making the right choice based on the knowledge that I have. That's what wisdom is. Now, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon gives us wisdom about a lot of topics, about money, about communication, about relationships, about sex. That's chapter 5, in case anybody's wondering. About work, about marriage, about anger, character, honesty, about, most importantly, God. That's what we need to know from the book of Proverbs. And so he gives us great wisdom concerning that. So when you make the right choices about these topics and many others, then, and you do that again and again and again, it's not making the right choice once. It's making that right choice again and again and again. Then you're a wise person. You think about the people that you know are wise. They're people who've made right choices with their life. It's not just that they're smart people, but they've applied what they know in order to make right choices, and they're fulfilled human beings. They seem content with life. And it doesn't mean that they're wealthy people. It means that they're people just like you and me, but they're wise. And they just know how to apply knowledge. They know how to make right choices. And that's why we need to make right choices, is because there's too much at stake with these topics that I've listed and with many others that we need wisdom. Secondly, I want you to notice the source of wisdom. There are two places that we're going to find wisdom in essence. First of all, it is in God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:6, I read it a minute ago, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now, God gives us wisdom through various means. Now, Henry Blackaby reminds us that God speaks to us, and He speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through the Word of God, through Scriptures. He will speak to us through prayer. The Holy Spirit will speak to us as we're communicating with God. As we are in certain circumstances of life, God speaks to us. The problems that you have, God is using those to speak to you. The good things that happen, the bad things that happen, all those circumstances, God is using that to reveal Himself to you and to get His perspective into those situations. God also uses the church. He uses other people in order to speak into our lives. They have wisdom that they've gained, that God has spoken to them, and through them, God speaks to us. The process is simply this. Let's take the Word of God, for instance. You read the Word of God, and when you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, that your spirit will bear witness to the Holy Spirit and to the message that you're reading in God's Word. Then, once you know that truth, you adjust your life to that truth. You're not adjusting the Word of God to your life. You're adjusting your life to the Word of God. God reveals truth through His Word. It's not truth that God reveals will not contradict the Word of God. Let me say that again. The truth that God reveals, somebody says, well, I got a word from God. It will never, ever contradict the Word of God that we have been given. So somebody say, well, I know the Bible says this, but. When they add the word but, you need to stop right there. I know the Bible says this, but. God doesn't understand my situation. No, He understood your situation long before you ever walked into that situation, and that's why He gave the Word of God, so that you would know what to do in that situation. That's why He gave it to us. So the Word of God will never contradict. So I have to adjust my life to the Word of God. That means I obey. That's what adjustment means. I obey what God's truth has revealed to me. And when you obey Him, listen, you make the right choice. When you obey God, when you obey His Word, when you obey the truth that He's revealed to you, then you've made the right choice and you become a very wise person. That's wisdom. It's not just knowing the truth, but it's adjusting my life to the truth. It's obeying the truth. It's walking in that truth. And when that happens, God works in you and through you to accomplish His purpose, which is for your good. Well, I don't like what God is asking me to do. If you do what He says, it'll be for His glory, for His purpose, and it will be for your good. It'll be painful. It'll be hard. It will cost you. That's what it means to be a Christian. But when you do that, it will ultimately be for your good. That's how we gain wisdom. We gain wisdom from God. But we also gain wisdom from another source, from a previous generation, from those who've gone on before us. Proverbs 1:8, this is what Solomon says. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Now, Brad Paisley, several years ago, wrote a letter. Wrote a song, If I Could Write a Letter to Me. If I Could Write a Letter to Me. The lyrics are about an older man who's looking back on his life, and he is writing a letter to himself as though he were 17 after all that he's experienced. Think about the topics I listed a few moments ago. And all that you've experienced in life, what would you say to yourself at 17 now that you've lived that life? It'd be an interesting letter, wouldn't it? And I think all of us would have a lot to say. What would I say? What would I say now that I'm 57 years of age at 17? What would I say to myself? You know what I would say? I know exactly what I would say. I would say the exact same thing that my father told me when I was 17 years of age. That's what I would say to myself. You see, God in His wisdom gave us our parents to reveal wisdom to us, to show us the way. Now, why is that important, that we listen to the previous generation? Well, for two main reasons. They have gone through the experience of life, and they have a great knowledge of the Word of God. They've wrestled with the Word of God, and they've learned the Word of God. And they've learned that word through the experience of life, through applying, or maybe they didn't apply. Somebody would say, well, I don't have godly parents. College students who are here, many of you would say, I didn't have godly parents. No, maybe you didn't, but you can still learn from them. You can learn what not to do. You can learn they weren't godly, they didn't apply God's truth, they did not have God's wisdom. So I need to have, and I see the things that happened in their life, and I can avoid that by applying God's wisdom in my life. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding, for I'm giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. This is a father speaking. When I was young with my father, tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands, and live. God, in His unique wisdom, designed it that they gained wisdom so that they can impart wisdom. And we need to listen to that previous generation. Why does Solomon place such great emphasis on the previous generation? Because through their experiences, through their understanding of the Word of God, we can gain wisdom. I want to ask you, what is the source of your wisdom? Who are you listening to? All of us need to listen to God. And we need to listen to a previous generation. Maybe your parents weren't godly, but let me say, in this church, there are older people who are godly. And they have a lot to say to us. They have a lot of wisdom to impart to us. So young people, if you didn't have that wisdom, young adults, if you didn't have that wisdom growing up, you call me. I can give you a list of names of older people in our church. Those who've gone before us, a previous generation who are able to share with us. Because you know what they're going to be able to say? I've been there. I know what you're going through. And this is what how God's Word helped me get through the darkest time of my life. And they can help you. For those who are older, I want to encourage you to invest in those who are younger. To seek them out. And we have to allow them into our lives, those of us who are younger. But allow them into your lives. You have something still to give to us and to share with us. Now, regardless of your age, we need to ask ourselves, who is speaking to us? Who is giving us wisdom? Who is helping us make right choices? Now notice third, the choice of wisdom. The choice of wisdom. What you find in the book of Proverbs, when you read through the whole book, there are two paths. Notice how the Bible, how the book of Proverbs describes these two paths. There's one path. It is the path of righteousness. The path that is upright, life, a path that is straight, of justice, of peace, one that is level. It is a path of understanding. Or there is the path of the wicked, evil, crooked, devious, fool, the path of the fool is most often used, the fool of the guilty, or the path of the guilty. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Don't set foot on the path of the wicked. Don't proceed in the way of evil ones. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. Remember a few weeks ago, we opened with that text. We see that ray. We know the sun's going to come up. We make the right choice on the right path. It may seem dark, but God is going to bless that decision. Proverbs 22:5. There are thorns and snares on the path of the crooked. The one who guards himself stays far from them. So there are two paths. Secondly, there are two voices. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. Proverbs 13:20. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. That's so simple, but so profound. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? Young people, who are you walking with? Who are you associating with? Are you trying to live a dualistic life? Oh, I have my Christian friends, but I have my worldly friends. That's not how this works. There's one, you can't walk two paths at the same time. That's impossible, physically. And you can't do that in life. You can't be walking down one path with one group of friends and walking down a spiritual path with godly friends. You're going to walk on one or the other. One or the other. So much the New Testament has to say about that. Let me read it again. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So there are two voices that are speaking into your heart, into your life. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit, or it's the voice of Satan. And they're using people to speak into your life. Godly people, or those who are sinners, who are walking away from God, who have no part of God. There are two destinations. The path that you choose is going to lead to a destination. Proverbs 12:28. There is life in the path of righteousness, but another path leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It seems right, but it's not right, and it leads to death. You know, this is a great point right here. It leads to a destination. I read Paul Tripp. And Paul makes a great point about this. You know, most of us are really struggling in life because we don't understand the real idea of destination and paradise. One of the problems is that we believe that this moment, we're trying to create this moment as paradise. That means that what I'm experiencing right now, I want it to be perfect. My marriage, I want it to be paradise. Where I work, I want it to be paradise. And in my family, in my church, I want it to be paradise. In other words, that we look at those situations as the final destination. That this moment is my destination, when this moment is a preparation for your destination. This isn't the final destination. And so you're on a path and you have these moments. The moments in and of themselves isn't the goal. And the reason why we're struggling and we're frustrated and we're disappointed and we experience failure is that we live in a sin-broken world with sin-scarred people. That's where we're living right now. He makes an excellent point that the destination is there. But here's what I'm trying to say. The choice you make today leads to a destination. You need to make sure you're making the right choice, that you're on the right path, because it's leading somewhere. Heaven or hell. That's the bottom line. That's what Solomon's trying to communicate to his son and what God is communicating to all of us. And how many people have chosen a path and they don't understand why they're in the place they are today, and they don't see what's ahead when God makes it clear. That's why we need His wisdom. His wisdom shows us the right path. It shows us the meaning of this moment, and it shows us where we're going to be going when we choose the right path. So, there are two choices. I think I've shared this before, I don't know. Yogi Berra, the great philosopher, he said, when you come to a fork, take it. You know what that means? When you come to a fork, you are going to make a choice. You're going to take one path or the other. And you need to make the right choice. So all of you here this morning are confronted with a choice. Well, I didn't intend on making a choice today. Well, if you leave here without making the choice, you've made a choice. You've chosen the wrong path. You've chosen a path that's going to lead to destruction, to disappointment, to failure in your life. Jesus, remember when we were on the quest, we studied the life of Christ. In the very last parable that He gave, His closing words were about two men and two houses and two foundations. Same storm hit both houses. One was built on a rock and one was built on the sand. And what did Jesus say? The man who built his house, his life on the rock was a wise man. But the man who built his house, his life, on an unsecure foundation, wasn't based on the Word of God, on the life of Christ, that house, when the storm hit it, it fell apart. And Jesus said this, those who hear my words, they obey his words, they're like that wise man. So, how do I make the right choice, Pastor? How do I gain this kind of wisdom? Proverbs 11:2, here's where you start. Great verse. When pride comes, disgrace follows. But with humility comes wisdom. Isn't that a great verse? It begins with humility. That means I confess my sin. I agree with God that I'm a sinner and that I've sinned. And then I repent. I get off of that path and I get on the right path. I turn from my way to God's way and I follow His way. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, and who will give without reservation and without criticizing. Isn't that great? He's not going to say, that's a dumb question. Why are you asking me wisdom about that? He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to make you feel shameful for asking that question. What does the Bible say? And it will be given to him. You ask him for his wisdom. God, I don't know what to do. He's going to give you that wisdom. Proverbs 3:5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, think about Him, and He will guide you on the right paths. Trust Him. You may not understand it. You may not like what He's saying. You may not like what He's asking you to do. But you do the right thing, make the right choice, and He's going to lead you on that right path. I want to read a passage of Scripture. I can't talk about wisdom. I just can't talk about wisdom without reading this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to listen. It's not on the screen. The Lord just reminded me of this morning. Paul says this, "For to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is God's power, for it is written," he quotes Isaiah 29, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom," you can't find God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, everybody else. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness, that means if he is foolish in any way, is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The world cannot give you the wisdom that you need. There's only one source of wisdom, and it comes from God. And God's wisdom seems foolishness to the world, because God's wisdom is a person standing at the foot of the cross, looking at a man who shed his blood so that you could have a relationship with God Almighty. There's only one way that you can have that relationship. There's only one way you can know God. There's only one way you can have your sin forgiven. There's only one way that you're going to make it. There's only one way that you're going to have the power and the strength and the perspective that you need. And that is the foolishness of the cross, which makes you wise. That's wisdom. Wednesday, a week ago, we drove to Houston. We left here early Wednesday morning, drove straight to Houston. I have three younger sisters. Karen's daughter got married. But my youngest sister, Hazel, her husband, Danny, was consulting in Houston. They live in Mississippi. In the middle of the night, he got up to go to the bathroom, 2 o'clock in the morning. He didn't know. He had a blood clot. He passed out, 50 years of age, 6 children. When he fell, his face hit the doorknob. C3 and 4 pressed against his spinal cord, and today he's paralyzed from the neck down. This is about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He was in ICU for most of that time, on a ventilator, still is. And they moved him to rehab. We got there Wednesday night. That day they moved him into rehab. We saw him Thursday morning. We weren't allowed to see him. He was in a panic state. He didn't know where he was. He was disoriented. They had to sedate him. But over the last few days, he's starting to make some improvement with being oriented and his breathing. In about 3 weeks, they said he'll be off a ventilator. They really don't know the extent of his injury as far as his recovery. And I ask that you really pray about that. The initial report is not great. And so here my sister is in Houston. She lives in Mississippi. The church there, let me tell you about the body of Christ. The church that he's consulting with, he's not even a member of that church. They've paid his mortgage. They've paid his kids' tuition. They've paid their car notes. Not a worry. We're going to handle it. It's amazing, the body of Christ coming together in a time of crisis. They have a routine, the nurses do, and the doctors and all the rest. But Danny, he wasn't able to talk for a while, but now he's able to talk. They changed his ventilator where he could. And Hazel sent the family a text, and she said, yesterday Danny, got the nurses in the room, and he said, there's going to be a routine every morning. And this is how we're going to start our day. And he said, I don't want anybody coming into my room at this time until this time. And he said, my wife is going to get the Bible and she's going to read the Word of God to me. And we're going to pray. And then you can come in and do what you need to do. Now why is Danny doing that? Because he knows that in this desperate hour, he needs God's help. He needs God's wisdom and God's perspective about what in the world is going on in his world. And for his wife and for his children, he's trying to understand, God, what are you doing? Why did this happen? And he needs God's perspective, and he needs his power. He needs his strength physically, yes, but more importantly, He needs it emotionally and spiritually. That's why you need wisdom. There's some of you in this room, you're struggling. You're begging, trying to get God's perspective. God in His grace and mercy and in His love wants to give you that wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And He will give freely. And He's not going to criticize you. You see, that's the right choice Danny made. That's what's going to get him through. And that's the only choice that you have if you're going to make it. There might be somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm on the wrong path and I want to get on the right path. The wisest decision I ever made was the day that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the wisest decision you'll ever make is giving your heart to Christ. And if you've not done that, I beg of you to do that, to get on the right path and begin to experience the life that God wants you to experience and to help you in this life, to get His perspective. And listen, to get you to the right destination. It's a great place. That's Danny's hope. And that's your hope. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts this morning from the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. Indeed it is, Lord. And I pray for these who are here this morning, that God, as You've spoken to their hearts, those who are in the balance, those who are at the fork of the road, that they will take the right step on the right path. Wherever they are in their spiritual journey, God, speak to us now in this time of response to do the right thing right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing this next song as we continue our worship. It's a time of response, a time of really just doing what God has said we need to do. For those who need to give your heart to Christ, I'll be here at the front to help you with that commitment. You may not know what to say or do, but if you'll just come to me, I'll help you. Others, you may just where you are. You just need to talk to the Lord and ask Him to help you at the place that you are making the right decision. Some of you, just in your own heart, you're a believer, but you're not where you should be spiritually. And you need to get on back on that right path this morning. Some of you, God is leading to become part of our fellowship. Let us help you as we all struggle on that right path. That's why we're here. Others might need to come and pray. Father, speak to us now. You respond. Let's all stand while we sing and God speaks. You come.